This is Night Call, the new nationwide listener call-in show on vital issues. Tonight's subject, can gun laws prevent gun deaths? Tonight's guest, President H.W. Glasson of the National Rifle Association. You speak for yourself and ask your questions directly by calling Collect, Night Call's national phone number, area code 212-749-3311, or in the New York area, 866-5010. Night Call's host in New York City is Del Shields.
Good evening. The second article of our Bill of Rights, the first 10 commandments to the United States Constitution, reads as follows, and we quote, "A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed," unquote. The more than a million-member National Rifle Association of America official position on this is as follows, and again we quote, "The NRA takes the bedrock stand that law-abiding Americans are constitutionally entitled to the ownership and legal use of firearms," unquote. Citing this constitutional right, the National Rifle Association has strenuously and consistently fought any regulatory gun legislation that it considers to be an infringement of it, or that it considers to be so impracticable as to be useless. Such is the case at the moment with the administration's proposed gun legislation, now tied up in the House and Senate committees until next week at the earliest. Our guest tonight is the President and Chief Spokesman of the National Rifle Association, Mr. H.W. Glasson. Our topic tonight is, can gun laws prevent gun deaths? And we welcome your calls and questions, as well as your comments, collect on our national phone number, which is area code 212-749-3311. That's national calls on area code 212-749-3311. Locally, you may call us at 866-5010. That's 866-5010. Mr. Glasson, good evening.
Good evening, Bill.
Thank you so much for being with us on this July 4th. My first question to you, sir, is can gun laws prevent gun deaths?
There's no laws that can prevent gun deaths. There's certain laws that should be on the books. There are many laws on the books now. For instance, there are no laws that might a man see that would have prevented the assassination of Mr. Kennedy, or the assassination of President Kennedy, or the assassination of Reverend Martin Luther King.
Mr. Glasson, can you hear me, sir?
We're
having difficulty hearing you. We're going to try to clear it up in just a moment. I'm going to ask you if you'd be kind enough to repeat the statement.
I said there are no laws that are going to stop all gun deaths. There are certain laws in the books now. As a matter of fact, some 20,000 laws pertaining to guns. But it's impossible to have any law that's going to be completely effective. Now, there are no laws that could have prevented the recent assassination. President Kennedy, Reverend Martin Luther King, and the late Senator Kennedy. Those were political assassinations, and there are no laws that are going to avoid that. The greatest period of political assassinations in the history of the world was in the Roman Empire before the discovery of gunpowder.
Each year in this country, guns are involved in more than, I think it's about 6,500 murders, as opposed to about 30 in England, 99 in Canada, 37 in Japan. Now, all of these countries practice very strict gun control laws. Now, should we follow their example?
Well, let me answer that. This is used very frequently. This is a statistic dug up by the administration that they're using to try to promote their bill. Now, in the first place, England is only a quarter as large as this country. There aren't 6,500 murders. The figure that I've heard is 5,660, which is, incidentally, now they call it murders, but it's homicides. They're not all murders. It includes justifiable homicides as well. Now, in England, you have a homogeneous population. But let me point out this, that the other crimes not involving guns and the homicides, murders, so-called, not involving guns are similarly lower. Same percentage lower than the comparable crimes in this country. Now let's compare New York City with London. They're both approximately the same size, about 8 million each. New York City has about the same type of gun laws as London, as England. There are very, very strict regulations. In New York City, for example, there's only 1,890 permits for handguns issued to the people outside of law enforcement officers. That's all there are. Out of a city of 18 million, only 1,890. In London, it's similar, low number. Yet, in London, the homicides by gun were something like 35, whereas in New York, the homicides by gun were 184. The homicides in London were not 35, they were 20-something. The overall homicides in England were approximately 40. The overall homicides in New York were 700. Now, of those 20-odd in England, there were in the neighborhood of a third, I believe, I don't have the figure in front of me, that were with firearms. About the same percentage in New York were with firearms, about a fourth, 184. But the overall homicide rate in the two cities of comparable size was 700-odd as against 40.
Mr. Glasson, I'm very sorry. We are still having technical difficulty, and we are going to... Right. we're just checking with our engineer. These things do happen, but what we're trying to do is see if we can get you on another line, and we'll be breaking momentarily for our stations.
You want me to hang on?
Yes, just hang on for a moment, and we're going to send a station break down the line with the promo, and while we're doing that, we're going to try to get another line so that you can come through a little more clearly.
Didn't you get that answer I gave you over the wire?
Yes, we did. But we want to be sure that the more than 56 stations, which are part of the Night Call Network, will be able to hear you clearly. And we visualize, not visualize, but we anticipate that there's going to be a very, very great response to the many questions that you're offering to us. So we'll try a phone call first and then see if we can clear it up in the meantime. We'll take our first call from Bethesda, Maryland. Mr. Mendelson is listening to Night Call over radio station WAMU FM. That's in Washington. Welcome to Night Call, sir.
Good evening, Doc. I'd like to ask Mr. Glasson if he thinks the present laws that are on the books now with regards to gun control are effective enough.
There's need of one particular set of laws that will enable each state to enforce its own gun control laws. That would make it an offense on the part of both the seller and the buyer to either ship by mail order, so-called, or by interstate sale. That is, a man cross his own line and buy a gun in another state. We favor a law that will prevent the circumvention. That is, we favor a federal law that will prevent either buyer or seller circumventing the law of the state where the seller lives. That law should be passed and has been supported by the National Rifle Association for the last 5 years. It should be passed. The idea of registration at the federal level is, in my opinion, ridiculous.
Why? Why do you say that?
Because it's an impossible task. And besides that, it's registration never saved any life. If there should be registration at all, as many states now have it for handguns, this is a function of the state. There are in this country an estimated 200 million.
Mr. Glasson?
To register all of those at the federal level is an impossible, expensive task. Now, let me tell you what this means. Ultimately, they get down to the point of the cost of this registration. Mayor Lindsay in New York estimated that it was going to cost, he figured, when they got around to it eventually, about $25 per gun. Supposing that's high, even so, with 200 million guns, if it were $25 per gun, you're talking about a figure of $5 billion. An impossible task. And it should not be at the federal level. Nothing else is registered at the federal level. They're all registered. Your automobile, that's so often compared, but not properly, with a gun, but that's registered at the state level.
All guns are registered at the state level.
Well, guns, if at all, are registered at the state level. That's right.
Well, shouldn't there be some sort of effective control at the federal level? comment, John, that...
I can't hear you.
Can there be something at the federal level making it possible for any gun to be tracked down if any kind of crime is committed with a gun?
The gun is, when it's sold by the dealer now, the number is recorded by the dealer, and it's recorded in a manner that can be found. For instance, on all of the recent assassinations that have had a great deal of publicity, those guns have been traced down in a matter of hours, and sometimes a matter of minutes. There's no excuse for registration at the federal level. As a matter of fact, registration never saved any life. Registration is an after-the-fact, lost-and-found proposition.
Mr. Glasson and Mr. Mendelson, we're going to ask you if you'd be kind enough to allow us to break in, and we're going to take an early break for our stations to identify themselves down the line, and while we're doing that, we're hopeful that we can clear up our technical problem. Hang up, sir, and we'll call you right back. Okay. Mr. Mendelson, thank you so much for calling, sir.
You're very welcome. Good night.
Thank you. Stay tuned for the Night Call Network.
More Night Call with Del Shields and guest H.W. Glasson after station identification. Listen to the voices of Night Call.
Large numbers of black people in this country are coming to the point where almost no action, violent or nonviolent, legal or illegal, is looked upon as being the sort of action that will help. And I think that's a dangerous point for us, where we reach the point where nothing is likely to help us. And it means, I think, almost the beginning of suicide.
Julian Bond, a black politician, is pessimistic. And a white ethics professor has faith.
I don't agree. We're all upset. In spite of the many faults of the white people, I think there's a strong reservoir of compassion in a lot of white people in this country, and a strong desire to see that the black man does get his right.
These voices, plus your own voice of question or comment, are Night Call. Speak for yourself.
And we return to Night Call and to our guest, Mr. H.W. Glasson, who we're talking to, calling in from Michigan. And we regret the technical difficulty we were faced with. And of course, this kind of thing does happen when you're attempting to tie in 56 stations across the nation. Mr. Glasson, once again, our apology, and you were talking to Mr. Mendelson. We did not hear you too clearly. Would you be kind enough to clarify one aspect? And I think we were talking about, you were addressing yourself to the fact that the gun industry brings in something like, did you say $1 billion a year? Was that the figure?
No, we weren't even talking on that. We're talking about the cost of registration.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, would you be kind enough to go over that again? Because if I misinterpreted, I'm more than certain that the other listeners did as well.
Well, what I said was that we oppose vigorously registration of firearms. Registration never prevents any crime. It's a lost and found thing, and you have a sufficient law on registration now so that guns can be and are forthwith traced. We need nothing further. In any event, registration at a federal level is unthinkable. Nothing else is registered at a federal level, and nothing else should be. If there's registration deemed necessary, this is a function of the state. What I mentioned was that the federal level to register all of the guns in the United States, estimated to be 200 million. And the mayor of New York once estimated that it would cost $25 per gun. He felt that was the charge that would ultimately have to be made. And similar estimates have been made by others. I'm not sure that was Mayor Lindsay, but I believe it was. But the figure would be somewhere around $20 or $25 total cost per gun, because many of them have to be assigned serial numbers and have them put on. Then you're talking about as much as $5 billion. If it cost only $4 or $5 per gun, you're still talking about $1 billion. Now, that's not small money. And the worth simply is not there, because it's not going to prevent any crimes, it's not going to prevent any killings, and it is an unjustifiable expense and an unjustifiable burden upon the sportsmen of this country.
Is the National Rifle Association against any kind of legislation?
Good gracious, no. We have supported the legislation for years. 18 different bills that had our full support, so-called gun restriction bills. We have, for years, favored a bill that would put an extra mandatory penalty on a crime, on the criminal, on any crime when he used a firearm. In addition to the penalty for the crime, whatever it might be, we would place another mandatory additional penalty for the use of a firearm in connection with it, a heavy penalty, 10 to 20 years. We have favored long, a law that I mentioned in the first question here that will prevent, in federal law, that will prevent the circumvention of a state law through interstate sale, either mail order or otherwise. There are a large number of laws that we favor, we help pass, we favored and help pass the National Firearms Act, the federal firearms law. These were all bills that we favored. We helped draw Senator Dodd's first bill, S-1975, back in 63, and we favored this. Had our full support. Then he changed his position to something entirely different. But the National Rifle Association has supported and does support a great deal of legislation. This idea that we're against all legislation is simply not true, and it's brought about by our opponents for the sake of advancing their own position.
Well, presently, there are two bills pending in the House.
Well, there's about five that are being seriously considered now.
Well, can we talk about the two that I'm aware of? One is the Long Arms Bill,
yes.
Which is currently in the House. Am I right?
Yes.
This is the one that the House Judiciary Committee voted on.
Yes.
Now, this particular bill is pending before the Rules Committee. Is that true?
No, the bill is presently before the Judiciary Committee of the Senate.
Of the Senate. Now, are you in favor of that particular bill?
No. That particular bill, we had opposed before. We still oppose it, regardless of, there's no change, there's no circumstance, there's no incident that would cause us to change our viewpoint on it. This is a bill that is the provides for the absolute prohibition of the sale of any type of firearm. By interstate sale, a man could not step across the line and buy a gun if he's on a trip and saw a shotgun that he wanted. He couldn't buy it, and the same would apply to a rifle or a pistol. It absolutely bans all of it. We take the position that there's more effective ways of controlling guns in the hands of the wrong people, and we agree who those people are: narcotics addicts, and alcoholics, and young juveniles, delinquents, felons. Those are people mentally ill. Those are all people who should not have guns, but there's another, we recommended a bill and gave our support to a bill that was the original Dodd bill, incidentally. Mr. Dodd had prepared it, that would keep it out of their hands through a waiting period and an investigation by the police, which we felt would be far more effective.
The estimate of guns that are presently in the hands of American people is from 50 to 200 million.
Yes.
Now, we're going to get into statistics, and we're well aware of, I think someone once said, when you quote statistics, it all depends upon who's on the other hand or who's on the other side. But according to our figures, 87% of the weapons that are confiscated from criminals were secured legally. Now, my question is, if 87% of the weapons that are taken from criminals were actually secured legally, would this not be a reason for some kind of more stringent control?
Illegally?
I beg your pardon?
Did you say secured legally or illegally?
Right, was secured legally.
Well, that isn't a figure that I've heard. In New Jersey and New York City, I think if they claim just the opposite of that, Dale, that the great bulk of them are illegally secured and illegally possessed. I've never heard this other figure, and I'm sure that you're mistaken on it, sir. I believe that the claim is always about the other way around. These guns are secured illegally. In New York City, for example, you had 184 gun murders last year, gun killings, homicides last year, and there was not a single legally owned or possessed gun user. Not a one of those 184 killings was with a legally owned gun. So I believe, Adele, that somebody inadvertently misinformed you.
All right. I won't dispute the figure at this point. But the National Council for Responsible Firearms Policy are not concerned about taking firearms from sportsmen. They just want the weapons registered.
Wait a minute, Dell. May I interrupt you?
Certainly.
I know all about that. James D. Bennett, I can give you a page and verse on it. An AP report, which I have within a few feet of me, I could find, I guess, stated that he couldn't necessarily speak for the whole association, but he thought he could, and that he favored a law such as they had in Japan, where there were few, if any, individuals, private individuals, who were allowed to own any type of a firearm. Now, that particular organization, maybe not every person in it, but certainly a large number of them, and whether a high percentage of them, are against private ownership of firearms in America. I know whereof I speak with them.
Now, the National Rifle Association has over 1 million members.
That's right.
Now, do you speak for the complete 185 million other Americans?
Well, it's impossible to say with 1 million people that you speak for everyone, but let me point out this, that we speak for a very high percentage. I would venture over 99%. Let me, and how we arrive at that, people ask how I know, is basing upon we get about 1 million letters a year pertaining to policies. We get about 2.5 million letters a year in the National Rifle Association. Some of them are on circulation and renewals and so forth. But there's approximately 1 million. And lately, of the last 2 or 3 years, most of them have had to do with legislation. When you say, do I speak for all of them, or many of them do not go as far as I do in approving certain gun controls, which I mentioned tonight. But there's a tiny percentage of them, a very, very tiny, a fraction of 1% would be my estimate, who do not subscribe to the general views. Now, with 1 million people, it'd be silly for me to stand up and say that everyone goes along with the same thing that I speak for. But I can say that the great majority of them do.
I want to throw another statistic at you, and only because these are the things that we are armed with in terms of attempting to develop some degree of dialogue. Now, since 1900, 750 persons have been killed by firearms in America.
Take that again.
Yeah, since 1900, 750,000 persons have been killed by firearms in America. Now, with this figure, would this indicate that we need a stronger gun control law?
That figure is not true. That is conceded by a Mr. Vinson, who is one of the assistants to the President of the United States. There is no record, and Mr. Hoover of the FBI concedes this, that there is no record of how many people were killed prior to 1935 by gunfire. There is that the figure that was fabricated by a New York press agent, and is included in a book by a man by the name of, can't remember what it is, some anti-firearms gun book, and there is no such figure. Nobody knows whether it's right or wrong, but there is positively no such figure.
All right, I have another figure, Mr. Glesson. It's been stated, I think, by Robert Sherrill, that the National Rifle Association spends $1.5 million a year on lobbying against anti-gun control propaganda. Is this true?
The National Rifle Association spends not $1 on legal lobbying. Now, when we talk about lobbying, you're lobbying now because you're trying to influence more people to, toward anti-gun legislation.
No, we're trying to create it. We're trying to get more information, sir. We're not trying to influence
it. Any good citizen, righteous congressman, in the vernacular, is trying to lobby. Now, to that extent, the NRA or any other organization, including the churches, any of the churches, American Legion, any organization you can think of, endeavors to influence legislation is lobbying. On technical lobbying means to hire, to spend money to influence legislation. The NRA does not spend one nickel on that aspect. Now, $1.5 million is a perfectly ridiculous figure. We do not spend any such. We have 1 million members, pay an average of, some of them are life members, about 10% of them. The rest of them pay an average of $5 per membership. That is, there are juniors and pay a little less than that, and we've recently raised our dues to $6. But there wouldn't be, we put out a magazine and all the other services that we perform, but we do not spend $1.5 million. We do not spend any dollars whatsoever in lobbying as such. We We do keep our membership informed. We do put out a magazine. Maybe you've seen it, I hope so. Called the American Rifleman.
Yes, we have. Are you at liberty, sir, to disclose what the income is of the National Rifle Association?
Yes, it's no secret. I don't have the figures in front of me. There's, it'd be 400 or 4 million odd, between 4 and 5 million in dues. And there would be, I would think, in the neighborhood of $1 million in the advertising in our magazine. And that's it, period. I'm not sure the exact amount. It could run 5 million or could be 1.25 million, but it's in that neighborhood. And that's all. We do not get anything from the industry. We don't even agree with them in many instances. As at present, we do not. We get no donations. We don't take any donations.
I'm going to ask just one more question, sir, in terms of statistics. It always seems to be two sides to that particular question. The idea, or the projection, rather, that there are between 50 and 200 million guns. There seems to be a tremendous gap between 50 and 200 million. Do you have any other accurate figures or more accurate figures?
Nobody
so the number of guns
anymore.
In America?
I know how many people have been killed by guns since the turn of the century.
I beg your pardon, sir?
I say that figure is as uncertain as how many people have been killed since the turn of the century. No one knows. Those are various estimates. Our own estimate is over 100 million, and probably short of the 200 million, but nearer the 200 than the 100. But
now,
that's strictly a guess. There's nobody knows.
Well, even at a guess figure of 100 million, are most of these 100 million guns in the hands of sportsmen?
Yes. Great bulk of them.
We've cleared up our technical difficulty, Mr. Glass, and we thank you so very much for being so very patient. And we're going to depart for station identification, allow our stations down the line to identify themselves, and then we'll accept phone calls from our listeners.
Okay.
Stay tuned for the Night Call Network.
More Night Call with Del Shields and guest H.W. Glasson after station identification. Listen to the voices of Night Call.
We're trying to bring about change in this through nonviolent channels. Now, if we cannot do it through nonviolence, there are other forces that are going to lead people down a violent path, and the nation will be destroyed.
Ralph Abernathy on apathy and violence, and a white industrialist says jobs will save us from a racial inferno.
It's better to learn and earn than to burn, baby, burn. Now, these are the changes in attitude that spring from the community as a whole to try to work with these people, not just work on them, and to have industry reach into the area and try to recruit and hire the guy that's qualified and to get the other fellow to take training so he, too, can get a job.
Speak for yourself on Night Call. Speak for yourself. Collect on Night Call, area code 212-749-3311 or 866-5010 to H.W. Glasson about can gun laws prevent gun death? Again, Del Shields.
And welcome to the many stations who join us each night for the second half of Night Call. And our guest, of course, Mr. H.W. Glasson of the National Rifle Association. And we will welcome our first Night Call listener tonight. I should say our second. This time from Toledo, Ohio, Mr. Paul Bellis is listening to Night Call over radio station WCWA. Welcome to Night Call, sir.
Good evening. Good evening, Mr. Glasson.
How do you do?
I have two questions for you tonight. Number one, the trouble is that when I write my congressmen and senators to express my opinion on gun control legislation, I have started getting pre-printed forms from some stating that they are going to pass strict gun legislation, and one senator had on his form that everything else associated with hunting is licensed and registered. Why not guns, too? Now, I ask you, when we write these representatives of ours and they started giving us answers like this, predetermined opinions, what else can we do as individuals to help along favorable gun legislation?
I don't know of anything else you can do currently. All you can do is remember don't know of anything else. You can't force it to change his vote. They're supposed to. They're supposed to represent you, and they're supposed to do that which is best for the American people. If they don't do that, well, then it's up to you to judge.
Okay. And also, do you think that the tragic killings of President Kennedy, Robert Kennedy, and Martin Luther King was communist-inspired to achieve disarmament of the United States as a side effect?
I don't know about that. There are many people who've asked me that same question. There are many people who've expressed an affirmative view. I know nothing more about it than you do, and I would prefer not to express an opinion.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you for calling, sir.
Right, bye.
This is Night Call in New York. Our national telephone number is area code 212-749-3311. That's area code 212-749-3311. You may call collect. We welcome your conversation and your calls. And our local telephone number in New York is 866-5010. That's 866-5010. Our next call comes in from Tampa, Florida. Mr. Martino is listening to Night Call over WFLA. Welcome to Night Call, sir.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Glasson?
Yes.
You were talking about an author who concocted this figure of 750,000 deaths. This isn't a question, but I remember the name of the author was Carl Bacall.
Oh, okay, I forgot.
And he wrote The Right to Bear Arms. I read it, and I agree with you, it is a very bigoted book.
It's a fabrication. There is no such figure.
It is a bigoted, it's throughout, it's full of half-truths. I read it. And thanks to your organization, I wrote to you for information, and I got it all cleared up. But anyway, this bit about in Europe, most of these countries have gun registration. It just occurred to me that I was reading an article in U.S. News World Report, where even though most European countries have gun registration, I believe it is in Italy, where it is almost impossible to control guns because of the fact that the war was being fought there, and there are so many war guns laying around that the government just can't keep track of them, and registration has proved in Italy to be totally useless in controlling guns, and anybody can get one. I would like for you to express your opinion on this.
Oh, I don't know. I've been to Europe, I think, three different times, maybe four different times, once with the Army and the other three times on business or pleasure. And this idea that I raised in the paper and the anti-gun press that people have no trouble getting guns to hunt with in Europe is simply not true. It is a considerable chore to buy a gun in Europe. I know the last time I was over there, I bought one, brought it back, and great amount of red tape. I was able to get it through because I had important friends there. I know that many people who are not hunting there, and generally speaking throughout Europe, this is not true in all of the European countries, but generally speaking, hunting is limited to the wealthy, to the landowner himself. That's generally true in England. They talk about there aren't many guns in England. That's right. And yet there are people who hunt. Well, there are a few people who hunt a lot. Lords who own the land. To a lesser extent, that's true in France, to a still lesser extent in Italy. But the taxes that they have in Italy on the gun are extreme, and there's not a not comparable to our percentage of our population, of our male population that hunts in any European country.
Thank you for calling, sir. We would like to take another question, but we are very backed up tonight with calls. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you. This is Night Call in New York. We'll take our next call from Mr. Whitaker, who's calling in from Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. Here's Night Call over WBAX. Welcome to Night Call, sir.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Glasson, I'm concerned about the figures that have been released concerning the death by guns in other countries, particularly Japan and England. I was wondering, I have a feeling that the United States was born and brought up with the gun and sort of a frame of mind that this is the way that you settle a disagreement. And I was wondering if a strong gun law wouldn't be a way to start us off into the direction that Japan and England is now.
Let me try to answer that. Earlier in the program, I mentioned that they point out the number of gun homicides in England. First place, England. down to this, they have a homogeneous population, far different than we have here. They don't have the socio-economic problems that we do here, of the deprived minorities that we have in this country. Then on top of that, both in Japan and in England. Now this is, I know more about England than I do about Japan. I've never been to Japan. But in Japan, or in England, you have the other crime. Not involving guns are comparably lower to what they are in this country, to that which they are in this country. The other crimes of violence in England are not at all comparable to that which they are in America. Now, comparing London and England, I do have the figures on these. In London, there's about 40 homicides, so-called murders per year. In New York, which is a city of the same size and about the same laws, England has just about the same laws pertaining to guns that New York does. No more strict, but just about the same as they are in New York. In New York, there were 184 gun killings. In London, there were 20-odd gun killings, 24, whatever the figure is. In New York, there was a total of 700 homicides with knives, guns, and everything. In all of London, a city of the same size, there were only 40. Now, I point this out that the difference is the same in the other category. So it isn't a case of absence of guns that brings down crime. Do I make myself clear on that?
Yes, sir, I do, but doesn't it still indicate that by limiting the amount of guns that this would also limit the amount of crime that would take place with guns?
Well, it doesn't to me, because the other crimes are in the same category.
I see.
They're just exactly the same category. Now, in Switzerland, where you have the highest proliferation of guns, said of any place in the world, I don't know if they're higher than we are or not, but presumably, this is what I've read, the highest proliferation of guns in the world, the lowest crime rate. There's no, that these studies that have been made in depth failed to show any relationship between a high gun distribution and crime.
I see.
These are the statistical studies. I refer you to the best known one is the University of Wisconsin Reference Library study made about 6 years ago, I believe.
Well, Mr. Glasson, we have here in Pennsylvania a law that's in the hopper now. I was wondering how you stand on it. I think it was thrown out federally, and you may have covered this earlier in the program. I wasn't able to listen. Concerning the committing a crime with a gun on your person, you automatically get a longer penalty.
We favor that law very much. We favor a law that would add to, as a mandatory additional penalty, any crime that's committed with a firearm. And we like a stiff one. What we are interested in is putting a good stiff penalty for the misuse of any firearm.
One fast question. This is a little off the subject, but is Mr. Orth still associated with the NRA?
Mr. Orth is our executive vice president. He's working real hard, and he's fine, good health.
I had the pleasure of spending a month with him on a hunting trip in Alaska.
Oh, is that right?
About 10 or 12 years ago.
Well, he's a fine man.
Thank you so much for calling, sir.
Mr. Shields, let me congratulate you on a wonderful program.
Thank you for calling, sir.
Yes.
Thank you for being a Night Call listener. Mr. Glasson, one short question. How large an industry is the manufacture of firearms in America?
I can't hear you.
How large an industry is the manufacture of firearms in America?
I don't know. You mean in money volume?
In money volume, yes.
I haven't the slightest idea. I've never seen any figures on it, and I honestly don't know. We have no interest in them, and I don't know the figures. I don't even know if they are available.
Thank you. We'll accept our next call from Mr. Spring, who is listening to Night Call over KLIQ-FM in Portland, Oregon. Welcome to Night Call, sir.
Hello, sir. How are you tonight?
How are you, sir?
Not bad, sir. May I say a thing to Mr. Glasson?
He's right here, sir.
It won't be too long, sir. I want to say this. I agree that you are faced with the obfuscators of Washington and their complete disregards for the individual volition, and all others that don't trust themselves and must pass on that same self-distrust mentality as the very law of the land. And I will say, when I was growing up, we called them sissies.
I don't get the man's point.
You
Did you wish for Mr. Glasson to comment, sir?
Yes, you've got a connection with you. Maybe you're make your statement again.
Well, it appears to me that they don't trust themselves and what their violation extends and means that they must pass on laws to take care of that situation.
Well, I think, saying it another way, a government that doesn't trust its
Pardon?
People is not to be trusted. Is that what you're saying?
Pardon?
A government that doesn't trust its people should not be trusted. Is that what you're saying?
Precisely.
Mm-hmm. I've heard that said.
Thank you for calling, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Mr. Truesdale is calling from Hackensack, New Jersey. He's listening to Night Call over radio station WLIB-FM. Welcome to Night Call, sir.
Hello.
Hello.
I wanted to first make a statement. It seems like it hasn't been publicized, the fact that in order to be an NRA member, you have to be sponsored by some authority, someone responsible. I mean, it seems that the people seem to think that NRA members are just gun nuts. But I also wanted to ask, if these federal laws are passed, are they going to be administered by local people, by bureaucrats, or by whom?
They will be administered by, at the federal level. Federal laws can't be administered locally. There's no provision in this law, and some laws they can, but there's no provision in this for local administration. It's a administered at the federal level.
Well,
the
would that be like the alcoholic tax unit doing prohibition? I mean,
that's the unit that will have charge of it.
In other words, it's just like they were infiltrated by organized crime and bribe takers and people like that.
Well, I don't know, but they will be the ones that will enforce it. Now, answering your other question, I'd like to refer to this first one.
Yes.
The NRA does have 1 million members. Each one has to be recommended by another member or by a public official.
Well, I mean, I know that. I wanted it made public because it seems like it's not on record. I myself am a member, and I was recommended by the chief of police of this town.
Well, we've had five presidents, including the late beloved Jack Kennedy, was a member, President Eisenhower, three others.
But see, the public doesn't seem to realize this because there's so much talk against the NRA. I wanted to hear it public say.
Well, the reason is that's not accidental, sir. Because to push their own bill, they have vilified the NRA.
Well, may I ask one question?
Mr. Truesdale?
Just one question.
We'll have to hold, sir, because we have to break for station identification. If you care to hold, stay on the line, you may.
Very well.
Stay tuned for the Night Call Network.
More Night Call with Del Shields and guest H.W. Glasson after station identification. Call it a social pressure valve, the voice of the ghetto, the voice of disgust, the voice of hope. Call it what you will, it's the voice of the people. Night Call lets people talk, and experts on the phone anywhere in the country or world offer answers to some of the problems. Having a heart-to-heart squawk, at least it gets people talking, first about their problems and eventually to each other. Night Call has a potential cast of 200 million Americans, and we now cover 50 stations in 40 cities. It could just be the most important listening post on the air today because it starts people talking. A program you should listen to. A forum to speak for yourself. If we don't start talking to each other, we'll end up shouting, and there's no telling where we'll wind up after that. Night Call, every weeknight on this station. Speak for yourself. Collect on Night Call, area code 212-749-3311 or 866-5010 to H.W. Glasson about can gun laws prevent gun death? Again, Del Shields.
And we return to our guest, Mr. Glasson, who's calling in from Michigan, and we lost our Mr. Truesdale from Hackensack, New Jersey, but thank you so very much for calling. We'll accept our next call from Washington, D.C. Mr. Rosenwald is listening to Night Call over WAMU-FM. Welcome to Night Call, sir.
Mr. Glasson?
Hello.
Yes? This question has been discussed over local radio stations here. and several members of the National Rifle Association have given as their reason against a national gun registration law what they thought was the fact that it would make easier for a dictator to take over the country. Is that your opinion too?
Well, that is not my greatest objection to what I've stated.
Yeah, well, anyway, this objection is not valid. I was in Germany when the Nazis took over, and within 3 months, there was an edict that by penalty of death, for everybody was obliged to bring any weapons they had at home to the nearest police station. And they didn't have to use any registration that existed, because they also did not need search warrants. They were free to search any house or apartment. In other words, registration has no effect on this. If there should be a dictatorship,
well,
they would proceed anyway.
This is not my primary objection.
Yeah, there were several members of your association who made this point.
Let me point out to you, I was in France at the time, shortly after the Germans disarmed.
Yes.
France. They did have registration in France, at least in Paris.
Yeah.
And they did disarm Paris. They got the list of who had guns, and they went down and they cleaned them right out. Now, it greatly facilitates the disarming of a people.
Well, but they can do without, because
people wouldn't dare
keep their arms.
They can do it without it.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you for calling, sir. This is NYCOL in New York. Our national telephone number is area code 212-749-3311. That's area code 212-749-3311. Remember, you may call collect. We accept your calls, your conversation, and, of course, your comments. Our local telephone number is 866-5010. That's 866-5010. We'll accept our next call locally from the Bronx. Mr. Waddy is listening to NYCOL over WLIB-FM. Welcome to NYCOL, sir.
Hello, Mr. Glasson?
Yeah.
I'd like to ask you a question. Since your organization is very wealthy, considering $4 to $6 million a year, and that you are telling us how much it would cost to register all the guns on the state...
I don't consider that a wealthy organization. That's gross income out of which we have to service our 1 million members.
1 million members?
Yeah. That's $6 a member that we're now getting. It was $5.
So why is it that your organization insists on advocating the non-registering of firearms? I mean, if it would, you have to crawl before you can walk, and since we see what danger non-registered firearms are doing, wouldn't you be, your organization be trying to register instead of not trying to register?
What good can registration do? Registration can't prevent any crime. Registration is preceded by the discretionary permit. Discretionary with some public official as to who can have a gun and who cannot. Now, that is in the current president's bill, 3691. That calls for a discretion as to who may have a gun and who may not. And we are opposed to that sort of thing.
You also said that your organization was for any law that was against the misuse of firearms, right?
That's right.
All right. Now, wouldn't it be most appropriate to have to... go along with the registering of firearms? If they're not registered, they're going to be misused?
That has nothing to do with the misuse of firearms, whether a gun is registered or whether it isn't. It can be misused if it isn't registered. It can be misused if it is registered. We are against the misuse of firearms. We want to punish the man who misuses the firearm. We want to punish him seriously because he involves all firearm owners, and we're in favor of putting him out.
Mr. Glasson, is there one more question, sir? Is there any members present in Congress now that are also members of your organization?
Oh, yeah.
Well, wouldn't this have some bearing as to why this bill could not get passed?
I don't think so. They're members of Congress and members of every good organization. Certain members of Congress are certainly members of every church organization. That doesn't mean that this affects the bills, for instance, separation of church and state. It has nothing to do with it. We have there's a number of members who are, I couldn't tell you how many, who are members of the NRA. That doesn't mean that...
Yes, sir. Mr. Dell said that since 1900, 750 was killed, 50,000 were killed, and you disputed him and said that the FBI or nobody else knew the exact figures
prior
to 1935.
That's right.
Do you know the figure from 1935?
No, I do not.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for calling. Mr. Glasson, there are a couple of questions that kind of disturbed me in terms of the organization. If the organization has 1 million members and you are directly concerned with guns in this country, is it not possible that the organization would be interested in what the dollar volume is of the firearms industry? And also, number two, since we are not in agreement on most of the statistics that I have given to you or that I have presented to you, is the organization doing anything about coming up with some accurate figures? And the third part of my question is, it has been stated from reliable sources that where there are tough gun legislations or where there are tough gun laws, that generally gun violence drops.
What reliable sources?
Well,
you're talking about Senator Dodd and Senator Tighting.
Well, let's take New Jersey. I think it was in 1966 that New Jersey placed into effect a very rigid gun law, and murder by gun was reduced nearly 50%.
No, sir. Mr. Dell, you're just wrong on your statistics. I know what I'm talking about. I was there. I've been in New Jersey, and I've talked to the people. I've studied the whole thing. Actually, the first full year of the operation, after this thing was in operation 1 year, there was a slight increase in gun killing. There was not a decrease. There was an increase. If they say the contrary, this simply does not tie in. Now, you can juggle figures around and take a portion of a year and that sort of thing, but if you take a year of operation and compare it to the previous year, before it went into effect, you will find that there were fewer gun killings and fewer murders of all kinds before the law went into effect than after. Now, that wasn't the law that did it, I don't think, but it so worked out, and it did not reduce them. Now, the other figure, why would I know what the gross industry of the firearm is? It occurs to me, Dell, that you have a very strong feeling on this matter. You're not taking an unbiased position. But,
no, may I offer this? I'm concerned that where the organization states that it is a constitutional right for an American citizen to bear firearms, and we recognize that the Constitution is very right in most instances, but I'm beginning to feel, or I'd like to find out, whether or not there is a dollar problem involved. Is it a money problem? Is it the fact that the gun industry grosses so much money that it can be as persuasive as it is?
Let me point out to you that, in the first place, I have no way of knowing what the volume is. And I'd like to point out to you that NRA does not sell guns, and we have never sold a gun, and we do not share in the profit of any gun directly or indirectly. Now, you get that?
Right.
We have no interest in it.
But the magazine does promote the sale of guns.
I beg pardon?
The magazine does promote the sale of guns.
We don't promote the sale of guns any more than the magazine that has furniture ads promotes the sale of furniture, to the extent that we have some, we accept ads. To that extent, we do.
I see.
We are interested in the shooting sports. We are not subsidized to any degree by the gun manufacturers or the ammunition manufacturers.
We have two more listeners, sir, and I'd like to get them on the air if we can, because we're running out of time. We'll take a call from Council Bluff, Iowa. Mr. Evertson is listening to Night Call over KBON. Welcome to Night Call, sir.
Hello, sir. How are you tonight?
Fine, thank you.
Well, I have a quick comment, and then I'd like to interject a little question. Pardon me a moment. Turn that off. I'd like to interject a little.
Please make it short, sir, because we're running out.
Real fast. The comment is this: to the extent that the hysteria influenced the enactment of the gun laws, one of them requires a certificate from a doctor or psychologist to diminish the ability of the applicant. And such a certificate is impossible to obtain. There's no psychologist, and no doctor will issue such a certificate, only in the case of a law, criminal law, or something like that, where it's a question of legal sanity or insanity, which is far different than the mental stability of someone who may operate anything, whether it's a car or a gun. This was to be entered into the law, the one that Mansfield just turned down. Now, the question I'd like to ask is this: who and what can determine whether a man should own a gun or not? Whether a man who's broken a window to get a loaf of bread and something to eat 20 years ago.
Let's ask.
A felon is to be.
Let's allow Mr. Glasson to answer because we have about 30 seconds.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you for calling, sir.
Bye.
Mr. Glasson?
Yeah. Well, I quite agree with the caller here that this is an impossible thing, a certificate that you can safely use a gun. I don't think the doctor's going to sign that. Of course, the whole intent of the legislation is to discourage gun ownership. And this will be followed, in my opinion, within a reasonably short time because you're always going to have incidents. No law can prevent it all, and it'll be followed. We're sorry about this, but we're going
Mr.
to
Glasson,
private ownership.
Mr. Glasson, thank you so much for being our guest on Night Call. This is Del Shields in New York. Good night and peace.
Night Call, the new nationwide listener call-in show on vital issues. Tomorrow night, same time, same station, editor-publisher Ralph McGill of the Atlanta Constitution on the South, race, and tomorrow. Listen tomorrow night. Discuss freely and responsibly your own personal opinion. Speak for yourself on Night Call. Produced by the United Methodist Church. Presented with National Council of Churches, National Catholic Office for Radio and Television, and National Urban Coalition.